and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters, day
401.
That was, it's event day.
That was weird.
What, the ambulance?
No, no. Well, for 400 shows.
Yes.
Minus the ones I've not been here for.
Yes.
You said, hello, it's 7 o'clock.
I know.
Well, actually, that's not quite true.
There's probably been about three,
hasn't there?
Indeed. We have had other shows at this time. Well, there was all the ones in the autumn. We had WWDC. We had an event in September, October and November.
Yeah, like I said, the ones I wasn't here for.
Right, have you opened the chat? Oh, there it is. I can see it now. Hello, Renee. Hello, Tony. Have you had a good day, Tony? Because Tony's booked the day off, hasn't he?
Mm.
That's wise. That's really wise. And who else have we got? Oh, Mike's in. Hello, Mike.
That's me.
No. CQ, Deb, CQ. Oh, well, we are all present and correct, apart from young Jonathan, obviously, who has had to do some work. Oh, no. Apple should give us more opportunity to wriggle out of work, shouldn't they, by telling us sooner?
Mm.
Because poor Mike's got work to do as well. Lola's not working, is she? Has she disappeared again?
She's behind you.
She's got me barricaded in just to make sure I don't move. Aren't dogs clever? She sleeps right behind the chair. If I so much as breathe, she's there. So I can't escape. Absolutely not.
You know when your Facebook knows more about you than you do?
Well, it doesn't know more about me, but carry on.
Yeah.
It tells me that you're my friend. My friend, Mike Thomas, has posted.
Well, aren't I?
Yes, I know. But like 3 months ago, it was your fiancé has posted. So I don't know whether he thinks we've split up.
Oh, maybe it does.
Never mind.
Anyway.
Facebook's stupid.
You know, anyway, there's a sponsored advert in the middle of my feed, The Guide Dogs for the Blind, and it says, meet Lola.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. Become part of a very special journey and help her transform the life of someone with sight loss.
Oh,
and that's Lola.
Lola
dog. Not our Lola.
No, that's a black lab
that's
Lola.
That's a black lab Lola.
Oh, she'd like that. They could have great puppies.
We were in the garden at lunchtime, and I looked over the fence, over the gate, because I was just bringing the bin in, and there was a cat.
Bet that made her morning.
I said, hello. And it toddled over and it sat in the middle of the road. Luckily, there's no cars coming around. So I lifted her up, let her see over the gate. She wasn't really interested.
No. But if it was in the park and it looked like a squirrel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dear me.
Or if it's somebody up somebody else's drive.
She likes other people's drives.
She does.
I've noticed that.
Yes.
Tony spoke to Apple this morning as he had no disk option to load the macros onto. All looking good now. Glad to hear it's sorted. I'm not even going there, Renee. It looks like a lovely word, but no. Not even going there. No, I'm mentally trying to say it, but no. Never mind. Good afternoon to you anyway.
Good and me dag.
No. I think the beginning...
Good and me dag.
No, I think the beginning is hootster. But I could be wrong. Let Renee tell me if I'm right. It's the beginning of that word. Hootta. But no idea where the end, so let's leave it there. All right, not macros, new Mac OS. Oh, right. So is it fixed now? What machine is this on? Remind me what you've got. Oh, you see, yours was pretty good. Mine's going to be shocking then. Mine's going to be absolutely shocking. I was working on the Hootta Arfons thing, but never mind. Oh, language is not where I excel. Not where I excel at all. The G's are like Scottish C's. Lock. No, I'm not going there. No, it would be like me trying to explain audio. No, let's leave it. Do you know what we had in the UK for far too long? We were bombarded with Brexit stories. Honestly, it went on for years. We were just at the point that if you turned your TV on, you were murderous. And then the pandemic hit. We never heard a word about Brexit for months. But the problem with that was wall-to-wall pandemic. Then Duke of Edinburgh died. Wall-to-wall royalty for a week. a nice little respite. And then the football thing happened. It's wall to wall. The pandemic, not rated a mention. The fact that Northern Ireland is on fire, not rated a mention. No, because the football things happened.
It's guttural. You mean guttural?
I'm like
Hanukkah.
You see, yeah, that's terrible, isn't it? I'm better at
Hebrew.
Mm, that's years of practice, though, isn't it? That was just years of practice. If I went to visit, I'm sure I would pick up odd words. Because there are programmes that I watch from Denmark, Sweden, and I think one was in Norway. And you pick up the odd words. What I did notice was, and I found this really fascinating, that there were some words, and they were said, and I'm looking at the subtitles, and I'm thinking, that's like a Scottish word. And then you find, as you look it up, that a lot of the Scottish words do derive from those countries. So that was interesting.
It's like rude hullet.
You know, if I had the time for languages, I'd be fine. But I don't. So it's as simple as that.
The G was spot on.
Oh!
I'm glad he added the word was in that sentence.
The Duke of Edinburgh died a nice little respite. That tells you, Dee, just how bad it is with our news. Now, having said the Duke of Edinburgh died, and it was a nice little respite, there was 110,000 complaints about the coverage of his death. Because the BBC have multiple channels. So you've got BBC One, BBC Two, BBC Three, BBC Four. And then you've got all the radio channels. And some of these radio channels are quite specific. One is like, modern music. There we go. Stuff I don't understand. Modern music. I think it was rap music. So we have a programme over here called Have I Got News For You? And I was watching this programme this week for two reasons. One, it's a really funny programme. Let me know if you've heard it anywhere else. There's two versions of it. There is a version that goes out on a Friday night and it's 30 minutes. And then there's a version that goes out on Monday and that can be 45 minutes. So I was waiting for the first episode in the new series. But obviously it was the day that he died, so they got taken off air as well. So this week's show was being presented by Adrian Dunbar, who plays, is it Chief Inspector Hastings? Ted Hastings in Line of Duty. And I just think he's fantastic. Oh, such a great dry delivery. So I was watching this and they were saying just how many complaints that there'd been. But in the programme itself, they actually showed you like a couple of funny bits. So one was a channel, I think it was BBC Four. And there's a programme on. They are in the middle of a programme. And it literally just cuts and goes to a black screen. But instead of telling you what was happening, they put up a message that said, please tune to BBC One for news of, and I don't know quite how they word it, but basically, you know, there's been a nuclear explosion. It implied something catastrophic of that level. So that one was quite funny for a start. But the funniest was this radio station, this reggae radio station, reggae and rap and all that kind of stuff. And they were bopping away to something that sounded like, you know, you were banging a pan with a hammer. And all of a sudden it totally stopped and it went to the national anthem with no explanation of what was going on. I can only imagine what people who were listening to it thought. Eventually they then said, you know, please retune to the news channel. So basically what the BBC did was it was a blanket cancellation of everything that was on. Every single channel, TV, radio, internet, was covering the fact that he died. But once you know he's died, he's died. There isn't really much at that point that you can do beyond that other than keep reiterating the fact that he's died. And then, of course, to fill the news channel, you then have to bring people on that, you know, met him once in 1942. And that's exactly what they did. There were so many complaints, they had to put a dedicated complaints page up. And in the end, 110,000. So, yes, it was a bit of a respite. But then once they got going with that, oh, no. Oh, no. We actually have at the moment, because I've got my eye on the news, that we've got a live press conference from Amsterdam, which is the European Medicines Agency trying to blind us with science that, that this thing that's giving us clots is still safe because it's only rare. So we've actually got, is it in English? I think it's probably in English. Judging by the subtitles, but the subtitles can be very funny, can't they, Mike? As you know, they spelled Edinburgh wrong. Talk about you had one job. You can't say you didn't know that funeral was happening. You got a week to prep. So surely, if there's any scope for somebody making a mistake like that, you'd autocorrect. But clearly not. It could just be me. I agree, Dutch is not easy. It's not. But then I believe English is one of the worst languages to learn. We have so many nuances in it. I can understand it. It must be difficult to learn. What's the most difficult language Tracy's learnt? In fact, how many of us only speak one language, which is me? Having said that, there was something on from France the other day, and I actually understood most of it. So that scared me rigid. That's not like me at all. I must have watched Spiral once too often, and I actually picked up quite a lot of words. If they spoke a little bit slower, I'd have been fine. Oh, Renee loves to speak English. Was it difficult to learn, Renee, or did you learn when you were really young? I think if we'd have started, well, in this country, it'd probably been French and possibly Spanish. But when I was young, it would probably have been French. If we'd have started earlier, I think I would have enjoyed it, because by the time you're 11 and 12, you're at that awkward, don't want to look an idiot stage, whereas when you're six, you would be far more open about making mistakes and that would be okay. So I would have loved to have started before.
I'll tell you a story about languages. Last week I did a Excel session for about 40 people from Poland, and the girl who had organized it did a little introduction, and she did it in English. Well,
That would be like, though, a courtesy to you, wouldn't it?
That could have been for my benefit.
Yeah, they wouldn't have assumed, I think, that you spoke their language.
Well, I don't speak Polish. But I had a meeting with them 2 days before, just with two of them, these two Polish girls. And we were talking about how things were. And I said, we've come out of lockdown a little bit. And they were saying Poland's totally in lockdown. And one of them said, my mum lives in the UK and she told me all about the queues at Primark.
Good to know Primark's gone international.
Yeah. Right, I will see you later.
Right.
To say the W word.
Oh, yes. Let's do the... I don't think we've done this live, have we? Lola. Walkies!
Come on.
Walkies!
Walkie, walkie, walkies.
Oh, she's toddled. I'm taking Daddy with her. It's very oppressively warm here at the moment. So she's been very good all day. That means she's going to take Mike out for a walk, and she's going to run him ragged. I feel it coming on. Hello, Kim. Kim's in the house. It's like they're forcing you to mourn. Well, I didn't realise until they actually said on the news that it was a week of national mourning. And I thought, well, you know, I didn't know the guy. It's very sad. But national mourning? I mean, it was heartbreaking to see the Queen sat on her own. But there again, given her family, she might have enjoyed the space. But a week of national mourning, I would have thought would be reserved for the Queen. Or maybe like if Charles went before the Queen. You know what I'm going to think about that, don't you? But I'll keep it to myself. Oh, so Renee says they learn English, French and German at school. See, that would be good. If we'd have done French, German and Spanish, which were the three languages that you could do, but nobody did all three. You had to choose. So at 11, you start learning French. At 13, if you are good at French, you get an opportunity to learn another language. The very top in the French class got to learn German. And the ones who were reasonably good at languages, but not the top, they got to learn Spanish. And me, I was still stuck doing French. I should have dropped it for something else, but we weren't allowed. When you pick your subjects, it's not exactly what you're best at. It's what you're best at, but in light of the rules. So we had to do at least one science. We had to do at least one language. Then new subjects were brought in, which I loved. One was commerce. I absolutely excelled at that because it was one of the subjects. It was the only subject that I took from scratch. So when I started at my last school, I didn't start in like the first year with everybody else. I wasn't there for a year. So obviously you're behind before you start. But with a new subject, oh, I loved it. So I made sure when I went to college that I took four new subjects entirely. And that was when it changed for me. Because I moved schools so much. I had a primary school, which I loved. I went from there to another primary school, which I loathed. So you're always behind again. Well, not behind. You'd just done something different in terms of the syllabus. You'd worked differently and they didn't bother to say, OK, you know, how did you work and how can we make the transition easy? No, they didn't do anything like that. Then I did 1 year at a grammar school and then I changed to a different grammar school. And again, they did everything completely different. So when I went to college, it was like, you know what? I want to draw a line under the whole school thing and just pick four subjects that are completely new. And I did. Oh, and while I was doing it, because they said, like, you're totally useless at languages, don't bother. Yeah, but the thing was, I wanted to get into university to read law. Ergo, I needed to know some Latin. So while I was at it, obviously there's no Latin classes. Not even back then there wasn't. So I taught myself what I needed to know. So I kind of, you know, all this children and young people kind of get to their level at different times. Yeah, mine was after I'd left school, not while I was there. Oh, Italian. Yeah, that's a nice language as well. I've never heard of anybody in a UK school learning Italian, though. I'm sure there are schools somewhere where they do, but I certainly don't know any. We've got incoming event news, which we will be coming round to at 5 o'clock. But Timmy has tweeted, and Timmy has tweeted, you know, the Rainbow Arch in Cupertino? He's tweeted a picture of that. Obviously, people can't leave it at that. They're now pontificating what that means, reading something into it. And the something they're reading into it is multicoloured IMAX, which I can see. I can see multicoloured IMAX arriving today. Some of my friends are now actually tweeting. Me, Twitter, no. It's so toxic. But some of my friends from the good old days when everybody was talking about Apple events and not, you know, worldwide things, is saying, who else is excited for the Apple event? I need a break from the negative news. She's pretty much where the rest of us are at, I think. Right, let me go back up here. Tracy started learning French at 8 when she lived in Sussex. See, I think 8 is like a nice age. You're old enough to appreciate it, but like I say, not that old you begin to feel awkward if you make a mistake, which is a good age. And Kim tried watching Dora the Explorer in Spanish every day to learn Spanish. They do say, don't they, if you listen to the news, but really? Not these days. COVID. Duke of Edinburgh. Brexit. Oh, no, please leave me alone. I can barely stand it in English, honestly, without taking on another language. I'd like to be able to watch things like Spiral and not have to read all the subtitles. Having said that, who watches Line of Duty here? Let me know if you watch Line of Duty. Sometimes these dramas are so intricate. You know, if you missed one word, you didn't appreciate the nuance on a word, it could totally change everything. I mean, Line of Duty is absolutely amazing. But to try and watch that, if English isn't your first language, must be very difficult. Because it's acronyms wall to wall. The CHIS, the OCG, etc., etc. And it goes on and on and on. And then it'll be like, I'll do a Reg 15 notice. I'm serving you with a red notice. I mean, we don't understand what all these acronyms are, much less if you're in a foreign country. So I don't know how well that would translate. but I'm liking the idea of it being a cartoon. Maybe I could try it with Scooby-Doo. Mind you, you wouldn't actually... Well, I guess a cartoon could be good because the language would be of a certain level, wouldn't it? So you wouldn't have the line of duty problem or the spiral problem. I was sat next to a guy at one of the Catenian dues and he was a headmaster. No, actually, sorry, scratch that. Needs to be gender neutral these days. He was a head teacher. And when he retired, he decided he wanted to do something specific with some of his time. So he decided he'd learn a language. And I think he had a little bit of French that he knew. So he decided he was going to start completely from scratch. And he picked Italian. And to give him, like, something to aim at, he booked himself a holiday to Italy, like, a year down the line. And that was his focus. And he was fluent after that year. He was amazing. But it'd be computers for me again, wouldn't it? It would. Oh, potatoes. Fun fact, after the Normans conquered England, you can see the effects. So in food, for example, food on the table has French words, pork, mutton, beef, and out in the dirty fields are the English words, cow, sheep, and pig. Doesn't surprise me. Italian and Catalan have a lot of similarities. I always find it interesting when you look up, like, the way a word has appeared and where, how we are at where we are today with a word. You look back at the history and then it starts to make sense. So you'll have a word and you'll look at it or look it up. It'll give you that history and you're like, okay, so now I see where that comes from. I just don't have enough time to do that all the time. But it's interesting when I do. Right. Kim loves potatoes in every shape and form. Oh, Kim, so do I. My mum's roast potatoes were the best. But I don't eat potatoes anymore. So it's very rare if I ate a potato. In fact, when we went out to the Catenian dues, there'd be potatoes on the plate. Sometimes there was other food on the plate as well. I need to share some photos, you know, of the Catenian food. There was one that claimed to be. This was way before Marooned and probably before After Hours. One claimed to be a fruit dessert, like a fruit salad. Oh, you should see this. This was bad. This was really bad. So what we'd do is be like, well, I'm not sure what we're going to have for dessert or what we're going to have for a starter. So on the plate, there'd be these potatoes and I'd be siding the potatoes to Mike and he'd be siding the veg to me. And then we went to this one in Salford. We'd only been once to Salford. So we went to this beautiful place. Masses old it was, but wow, inside it was nice. So we get to there and I'm sat next to this guy. Never knew him from Adam before this point. So I'm sitting there with him and I think we both had beef. And there was something else with it. And I wasn't eating the something else that was there. So he said, do you want this beef? Because I'm not going to eat it. So I said, do you want these potatoes? And I'm swapping stuff on a plate with somebody I've never met before. Oh, a good Catenian do that. Italian isn't really widely spoken. Spanish has many countries. Isn't Spanish the most popular language in the world? The most spoken, as I heard it. Because I'm always amazed in America that you'll have like a Chicago Med or something like that. And there'll be like five of the staff who are fluent in Spanish. And then when somebody comes in and they're Spanish speaking, they just rattle away in Spanish to them. Oh, I just find that amazing. It seems very, very common. But I don't know. Tracy needs the subtitles for Line of Duty to pick up the acronyms. I totally agree. I think it's, in a way, it's become a parody of itself with that, hasn't it? There's certain lines in Line of Duty. One is I reserve the right to be questioned by an officer at least one rank higher than me. And that's in every episode, I swear it is. But I think they upped their game this year with Chiz, which I'd never heard of. So I worked out, you know, I'll put it in as it sounds. I'd love to see the Google stats while that show is on, because I'll bet everybody's like me. I'll just type that. Oh, right. OK, that's what it means. That one was Covert Human Intelligence Source, CHIS. A word I have never heard before and have never heard since, but apparently is a thing. I just wonder how difficult that is for people abroad. How difficult is that with strange acronyms that could be a word or it could be an acronym? And you've got the problem of, you know, English isn't your first language to start with. And then they're talking in riddles about things that, you know, English is my first language and I don't know what it is. I just think that must be incredibly difficult. Dee loved it, especially the architecture of the buildings and the farming vending machines are such a good idea. You haven't seen them. Can you remind me what Spiral is? Spiral is a French series. I think it's up to about series 8, 9, something like that. It's been going on for years. It's not something that I think is put on. Well, it might be put on in France every year, but I think we've been getting Spiral for about 12 years, but only 8 series. Its French name is Engrenage, which you said was it twisty? I heard it when people said, why is it called Spiral? I heard it that it meant like links or a chain or that kind of thing, and that the nearest word was spiral, but it was Engrenage. It's really good. It's like the Line of Duty from France. It is very, very good. I just find it, they put 2 episodes a week on when it's on. And I understand that because you want the story to progress sufficiently that you are bought into it, that you keep watching. I get that. But sometimes it's just a little bit too much. It's like an hour 45 to an hour 50. And to squint at the subtitles for that long while trying to pick up all of the looks and nuances on the screen, it's actually quite tiring. That's on at the same slot as The Killing and Borgen. There was another French one as well that I can't remember the name of, where a young girl went missing at a pop concert, I think. Name of which totally escapes me. I do love that kind of drama, but it is quite tiring if you are trying to do 2 things at once. Read the subtitle, look at the screen, read the subtitle, look at the screen. I think I could do with it, like, slowed down. So whereas I'm normally speeding stuff up to 3 times, I think I need that at like 0.75. And that way I could read it a little bit. Just make it a little bit easier. Renee usually has great subtitles, even though you hardly ever read them. Comes in handy at times. Do you know, it comes in handy, even if it is in English and English is your first language, because they'll say something about, what was that? I did it twice the other night with an old episode of Line of Duty, because Line of Duty is so complicated that there are things that are happening in the current series, which is series 6, that hark back to series 1. One of them was a guy in it. This isn't a spoiler as long as you're up to date. There's a guy in it called Ryan, and I had no idea he was in series 1. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to have to go back to series 1 and watch it. I remembered it when I saw it, but you've got the subtitles on, and especially with Adrian Dunbar's accent, he's from Northern Ireland. He uses words that, a little bit like pet and love from the Northeast, he uses words like fella and darling, you know, and we're talking in a police context here, which is wholly inappropriate. And one of the characters turned around and said, yes, sir, but can you use gender neutral language, please? When he called her darling. So it's handy to have the subtitles, because I do have to wind back and think, what was that? And then think, yeah, that's what I thought it was. But that one I did have to wind back, because I thought, you're kidding me. It would be so inappropriate for a superior male officer to call a subordinate officer darling. It really would. But yes, that's exactly what he did. So the subtitles can be incredibly useful. There was one film a while back, became a standing joke with Mike and I. We were watching it. George Clooney was in it. So, you know, I didn't have a problem watching it as many times as you liked. And Mike, of course, he was entertained because Jennifer Lopez was in it. So Jennifer Lopez and George Clooney are in the boot of a car. What was this thing called? Someone can tell me. I cannot remember the title of it. But they're in the boot of this car. And I think he'd kidnapped her to some degree. Was she a police officer? Can't remember. But they're in the boot of this car. And Mike and I couldn't understand a word. And it was in English. So we'd seen this film. And we decided we put it on again because we both felt like we'd missed bits of this. So we put it on again. And I said, you know what? Let's turn the subtitles on. So we did. Totally different film once you could fathom what was going on. And I think the biggest problem with it was there were like Americanisms, words that we wouldn't use. So it was like, oh, right, I'm with you now. What on earth was it called? It wasn't The Peacemaker. Out of Sight? Out of Sight rings a bell. Where is it? I'm sure I've just seen that. Let's see if it was called Out of Sight. I think it was. That's ringing a bell. 1998. Yes, it was that one. It was actually a good film, but it was so tricky with the words that one, I had to watch it twice, and two, I had to turn the subtitles on. And that was in English. That's not good, is it? But there you go. Watched it in the end. Let's have a look. Oh, Kim's got a cousin from the Netherlands. Cousin from the US speaks fluent French. Lives here in the US. They tried speaking all three languages with their daughter from birth and said it kept getting mixed up, so they quit. Oh, I think that is sad. I've always wondered, if you are bringing a child up bilingual, at what point are they aware that, you know, these words are language number one and these words are language number two? I have really thought about that. Our nephew, his mum, I'm not sure what language it is, but her first language, I think, is a different language. And they will just suddenly break out into this other language and then switch back to English. I must admit, I find that a bit rude if everybody else in the room doesn't speak the language that they're speaking. It's as if they're saying something behind your back. But from the position of he's now coming up to 12, obviously at 12, you know the difference. But I wonder at what age it kind of clicks and that you're not switching out the wrong words. I think that would be quite difficult, but just me probably, because you know me and languages to start with. I do agree with the etymology thing, that there's more to it than just the words. I remember we went to France and I was only about 14, 15. And, you know, I really enjoyed French the first year I did it. I loved it. I was very good at it, but it was spoken French. Then when we went into like, well, you've got to write it. So we're not speaking it until like year five, which I thought was ridiculous. I lost confidence with it. So going over to France, Mum and Dad didn't speak a word of French. And Mum said, well, it's all right. You know, I'll be with you. It's not a problem. And we hadn't booked a hotel. But when we got there, Mum said, it's all right. I'll do the talking. So she went in and she dragged me with her, though, I notice. And she said to him, parlez-vous anglais? He said, no. And she said, right, it's over to you. And I bad words were said. You know, pushed into a spot, I think she knew I would be able to cope, and I did. But part of it was, he said something to me. I had not a clue what he said. Not a clue. But I knew from the first year that I'd done, where we immersed ourselves in the French culture, that in a hotel, particularly a small hotel like this was, a family-owned hotel, you would never agree to take the room, you know, hand money over, sign paperwork, whatever, without seeing it. And I'd been taught that, you know, as we watched videos and stuff, that was what was going on. That's a cultural thing. We do not do that in England. But because I knew the culture, I said to Mum, get up the stairs. And she said, but we've not paid. I said, you've got to see the room first. Now, even if she had learnt French perfectly, she wouldn't have known the cultural aspect of it. And I do find that absolutely fascinating. And it certainly helped trying to explain things, understand things, and order breakfast, which was interesting. There was something they served for breakfast with a croissant. I think it's some kind of coffee, although it might not be coffee. I'm not sure. But Mum likes coffee. I loathe coffee. Dad loathes coffee. And this thing was served for breakfast. So Mum had all three. It's like, you just give me the croissant. I only want the croissant. Oh, dear. So the thing with teaching children to be bilingual is one parent, significant person in life, always speaking the same language to the child. Oh, now that's genius, Tracy. Yeah, that would kind of make sense. and it's best if it's in the person's mother tongue. Yeah, which is exactly what's happened with the nephew. So I'm sure he does know the difference and everything, but I think having a language, this, we're not talking French, Italian or something. This is, I don't know what language this is. It's a minority language, let's put it like that. Guess about the level of Welsh. No one else in the room is speaking that language. So if you suddenly burst out into it with each other, it does feel a little bit exclusionary. I mean, if I was speaking it, well, I only speak one language, don't I? That's tricky. Well, let's put it like this. If I did speak two languages and I was in the company of people who only spoke language one, that's the only language I would be speaking. That to me is a courtesy thing, but I don't know because I've no idea what they're saying. Could be saying anything. Do you know, that reminds me of a programme I watched years ago. Who's heard of David Lodge? I'm working backwards through the chat. I am. I'm working backwards through the chat. What channel is Engrenage on? BBC 4 when it's on, Tracy. Let me have a look. Let's do that thing. What BBC have done at the moment is there's loads of stuff on the iPlayer. Like you could watch the entire series. So let me have a look what's on with Spiral. Yeah, Spiral at the moment have got all 8 series on. So you can just, if you've got your VPN, you can log into the iPlayer and watch all 8 series. They're doing that because of the lockdown, I'm presuming, so we've all got some entertainment. But yeah, start with series 1, it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Doesn't hurt that there's this guy in it who's rather good looking as well. What was his name? Was he a policeman? I think he was the policeman. But yes, it was rather nice. I enjoyed watching that. Now, what was I saying? Programme a while back. No, it's escaped me. It'll come back. Tracy's glad she's not the only one who needs subtitles for American content. It's the words, isn't it? It's possibly the way they say them, the speed they speak. And I think sometimes it's actually quite helpful. Also, with bilingual teaching, you have to preserve and carry on despite the child mixing things up. Eventually, things sort themselves out. The child compartmentalises two languages. I can imagine that, but I just think it must be quite difficult. I remember there's a girl over here, Rachel Riley. She's married to one of the dancers on Strictly. I think he's left now. Pasha, the Russian guy. She learnt Russian when she started going out with him. And they're bringing up, well, they've got one child at the minute and another on the way. And they're bringing them up bilingual. So, yeah, I guess in that circumstance, it would work. If the husband is speaking Russian and she's speaking English, you would divide it that way. And eventually the child would follow along. She particularly mentioned, and I thought that's a good point as well, that despite the fact that, you know, they're living in England and they've no intention of moving to Russia anytime soon, she wanted the child to be able to converse with its grandparents in their own tongue, which I thought, yeah, there's that about it as well. But, you know, where you've got a couple and they're speaking two different languages, that does make total sense. I think if I had had a child, I'd probably have started it on other languages really early because I felt it was too late by the time I got to it. And having other languages is a nice skill to have, isn't it? Oh, Renee's having a bite to eat. Nothing wrong with that. Got to keep our strength up to get through all of this today, haven't we? Hello, Alex. How are you doing? It's incredibly difficult to speak to someone in a different language to the one which is normal for you both, even if you both speak the language of other people in the room. Different language from. Yeah, I just find it, you know, in a family situation, it's exclusionary. None of the other family members speak this language at all. I couldn't even tell you what it is. And it seems unnecessary in those circumstances. Obviously, heritage-wise, etc., you want the child to speak the language that you do and that your parents do. And I totally get that. But I think there's a time and a place. I mean, if it was like a funeral and you wanted to do some kind of eulogy in that language, I wouldn't have a problem with that, because culturally, that's what it's about. I mean, when Mike was at his dad's funeral, he's there with this book in Hebrew and he's talking in Hebrew. And that's just a cultural thing. You know, he doesn't break out into Hebrew on a regular basis, I can assure you. But there's odd words, and, you know, sometimes it's nice to know the odd words. So that's why I have a smattering of Hebrew, because you would be going to events and you just pick it up as you went along. But I just think in a relaxed family environment, why are you doing that? I don't particularly see the need for that. It does feel exclusionary, but each to their own, each to their own. If I suddenly break out into a different language, then I've got some kind of brain defect because I don't speak any other language. That does happen, though, doesn't it? Some people do get like a bump on the head and start speaking a foreign language. That I find amazing, because that must have been in your head to start with. But where from? Surely you... I don't speak a word of Polish. So if I got a bump on the head and started speaking fluent Polish, where did it come from? I do find that one incredibly strange. Ooh, Tracy's French best friend. Don't even realise you've slipped back into French when in English only company. It doesn't mean to be exclusionary. No, I'm sure it doesn't. And, you know, particularly like you guys that speak lots of different languages, maybe not. But in a family situation where clearly the other people in the room haven't got a clue what you're talking about, I do find that a little bit rude. I think maybe it's not intended to be rude. But I think you should rein that in. I would certainly rein that in. But that's probably just me. We took over a training group in the early 2000s. And we were all trainers. But I don't think any of them had trained a trainer. So they go in and they train people who... A lot of this was, you know, back in 2000, you can imagine. A lot of this was very basic level training in Word or Windows. This is Windows. This is a file. This is a folder. So we're talking, you could afford to be quite confident when the people that you're training know absolutely nothing. But if you were training another trainer, trust me, the dynamic was a whole different thing. And we wanted people to volunteer. So it wasn't the same person doing the workout every month. So we got this lady to volunteer and she was really nervous. And I said to Mike, I'm going to keep an eye on it. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, she's nervous to start with. I said, you know what some of the guys are like. And he said, no one's going to give her a hard time. And I said, not like standing there and saying you're rubbish. I said, but, you know, it can be quite intimidating for somebody to have somebody giggling as though, oh, is that the best you can do kind of thing. So I said, I'm just going to keep my eye on it because I don't want. Not that I need to have like 100% control, but I just didn't want this speaker to feel awkward, because the problem to me was if she ran out of the room screaming or said, no, there's no way I would ever do that again, you know, people were rude, then we'd have a problem trying to get other people to volunteer. So I said, it just needs an eye keeping on it. Well, she hadn't even arrived before these two guys started. Oh, this isn't going to be very good, is it? She's not very confident. And I thought, oh, here we go. And this isn't a different language thing, but it is making somebody feel awkward when they don't need to feel awkward. So I went over to this guy and I said, oi, knock it off. Not needed. You know, even if you know it all, just sit there and nod quietly, because it takes a lot of courage to get up there and teach other trainers. And they did. They reined it in. But I could see, you know, between the two of them. And it's a little bit like that. Sometimes I didn't want her to feel awkward. So if I'm in company and there's different languages going on, I think a lot of people, there are some people, the confident people wouldn't care. They wouldn't care. But people who are less confident are probably going to be thinking, you know, is my hair all right? Is this not zipped up or something? And it makes them feel awkward. And then that entire dynamic of the room changes. So I don't like to have that. I remember spending one Christmas meal. Mike said, you look like a lighthouse. I was bang in the middle of a long table. I think there was about 25 of us, something like that. So I positioned myself bang in the middle. He said, you look to the left. He said, and then you just swung round ever so slowly all the way to the right. And then he swung all the way back to the left. He said, I know what you're doing. I said, I'm making sure no one's left out. No one feels awkward. No one's the butt of anybody's jokes. I said, because that's my job. You know, I run this trainers group and I do not want anybody coming along feeling awkward. So I can imagine if different languages were being bandied around as well, it would possibly make people less inclined to return, that they don't know what's being said and that unnerves them. I mean, people can get nervous at so many different things. When I was having my teeth done, I was in the middle of doing this presentation. So this particular day, I was going to the dentist. I was going to be there for like 20 minutes and it was going to be fine. Only we decided that there was something about working through the patient plan or something. And I ended up being there for like 2 hours. So there was about 30 minutes with the dentist and then an hour and a half with the patient coordinator. I had to dash off then for this presentation that I was doing. So I heads off and I said, you know, I got there, fair enough. I wasn't late. But they were panicking because they couldn't get in. They didn't have the key. So we had to, all that to sort out. So I got talking to the lady who ran this group. And she said, have you had a quiet morning? And I said, no, it's been chaotic and I wasn't expecting it. So I explained that I was having a lot of dental work done and I'd been to the dentist. And she said, don't say the word dentist. She was absolutely petrified. And I thought, I did not expect that. I knew I was terrified of the dentist, but I didn't realise everybody else was terrified of the dentist as much as I was. I guess it's just something that's not said. But that just shows you how hypersensitive. So if I'd have stood up in the presentation and said, you know, sorry, I'm on the death, but I've been at the dentist. She could well have collapsed. She was that afraid. So you never know what is a trigger for somebody. So I try to do the best that I can in a group like that, a group dynamic where I can say, you know what, knock it off. How would you feel if you were presenting? And that's a phrase I've used quite a lot. How would you feel if it was you presenting? And when I say that, the person who's been like a jumped up little monkey suddenly goes, yeah, sorry. And I think, well, do you have to have that pointed out? Can you not work that out yourself? If it was me, I think you should behave the way you would want other people to behave if it was you that was doing the presenting. And that should go without saying. This is not a big deal. That's what should happen. But a lot of people don't. They seem to take it that they want utmost respect when they're speaking, but they reserve the right to sit there giggling and throwing paper planes when it's somebody else, which that's not never going to work for me. It's not. We had a lovely little group going and people weren't afraid to go up and do a presentation, even if they made mistakes, because we'd established the baseline of that's OK. It's a safe place. So a lot of people can be really sensitive, really sensitive. That used to happen with my mum. My dad's brother married a German lady. He went over to Germany in the war and he met and married this lady, brought her back. He learnt German while he was there. And obviously German was her first language. And they'd come to stay. And all of a sudden, she was quite strange, to be honest. But all of a sudden, she would start ranting in German and he'd be replying in German. And Mum sat there, not a clue what's going on, and said that how awkward she felt. You could tell from the tone it was clearly a row about something. Something she wasn't happy about, usually. And Mum was like, you feel really awkward. You've no idea what kicked it off. You've no idea what to do, what to say. And she said, you know, I felt awkward in my own home. So I guess I learnt it from there. Oh, I'm going to catch up here, but I've just caught Renee saying that's nothing. My dentist is terrified of me. That's possibly the way to have it. There you go. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Right, let's have a look here. You wouldn't be worried about the heritage and stuff. You've no interest in learning Irish. It's your heritage. If you have a child, having them speak English, assuming you speak by another, then. Yeah, okay. Some of it's a personal thing, isn't it? But there you go. Renee had to speak English with his Dutch colleague in the company of German, French, Italian and Spanish colleagues. Strange when you think about it, but then again, an American company. It's interesting, AstraZeneca, which is actually a Swedish company, that a lot of people, you know, with an eye on promotion, will actually learn Swedish. And yet, within the company, English is probably the predominant language. And then other languages are supported. So if you think about Mike on the training team, there's the English people and English speakers who don't mind if the training is in English. And then training is prepared in other languages. I know it's done in Swedish. I think some is, I think it's Chinese, but don't quote me. And what are the other languages? There's probably about four or five at least. And they have trainers that can speak those languages. So if it's something like Excel Advanced, obviously Mike can't train that in Swedish. But what he can do is prepare all the materials that are then translated into Swedish. And then that would be presented by a fluent Swedish speaker. So I know a lot of people try and learn Swedish. But you're right. People come on, and like Mike was saying the other night, although they are both Polish, they are speaking English because Mike's English and they want him to feel included. It's a minefield, this, isn't it? Alex visited a friend who was in Switzerland and England, but the family's main language is Swiss German. And the same in family children lapse into Swiss German when excited, but Mum just said English, please. I apologised and spoke English again. Not having multiple languages to call upon, obviously that's never going to happen to me, but I can imagine that you get excited and you just want to get the words out quickly. So I can imagine that. But again, you've got the mum taking on my role, which is no one's going to feel awkward here because this is a safe place. But you know, what language you speak in your own time or in a certain circumstance, no problem at all. I always found it quite strange. We went to visit my best friend, her cousin had, I think it was a 21st birthday. Now, we were younger at the time, but I think we were driving. So we were maybe only like 3 years younger in Wales. And Wales is not far from here. Wales is about 48, 50 miles up the road. If you are in Wales, so there is a border, but you know, you wouldn't know. It's just a sign that says welcome to Wales. We're not talking like the Berlin Wall or anything like that. It's literally just a sign. You're in Wales now. But if you are in Wales or you are going to a school in Wales, so even if you were in England, but your school was like 50 yards up the road, and that's in Wales, you have to learn Welsh. Which I think it's nice that the Welsh language carries on. But it always seems to me it's a very tricky language to learn. And I can imagine that, you know, you apply to schools in England, you are English, you have never spoken a word of Welsh, and all of a sudden you're allocated a school that's like 2 metres into Wales, and now you've got to learn Welsh. And there's no exceptions. It's not like, well, actually, I live in England. No, if you're at that school, you learn Welsh. And I think it's lovely that the Welsh language carries on, but there must be some really tricky situations for children who have not been brought up that way. Or if you move to Wales for a job, there are so many jobs in the tech world in Cardiff. Cardiff was completely rebuilt and it's now like a centre of media. So the BBC down there, they were the ones that put on Doctor Who. So many, many things are from Cardiff. If you move down there with a child that's like 9, and you know, you've moved from London and they don't speak a word of Welsh, well, now they're going to need to speak Welsh. And I think that's so tricky because that child would be starting from zero, whereas the children in its class could have been speaking Welsh for 9 years. How on earth do they cope with that? And I don't know is the answer. But this cousin of my best friend was fluent in Welsh, although he'd only moved there about 2-3 years before. So quite amazing how quickly some people do pick up languages. Not me. I'm now concerned for poor Renee's dentist. I am. I'm worried. Oh, dear. Well, we're 5 minutes away from switching show. If you've never been with us before, why do we switch show? Well, for years and years, our first one was 2010. We did a Mac Bites Live. And a Mac Bites Live back then in 2010, the first one was... Well, let me answer this question. Do the English children have to speak in Welsh throughout the day, or is it just another subject? Do you know, I don't know the answer to that. All I know is that they do have dedicated, like we would have an English lesson, they do have dedicated Welsh lessons. But I don't know if they're supposed to speak it throughout the day. I would feel probably not. Probably not. But I don't know. And I just think, Maybe what they have to do is take out the child that's nine and put it into like a basic Welsh class. So maybe they have Welsh year one running every year and Welsh year two running every year. So maybe they do it by group. But you don't tend to do that in primary school. You tend to have a primary school class and you do all of the subjects together. You don't get streamed until you're over 11. So I honestly don't know. That would be interesting. I need to find somebody in Wales now who can tell me. I don't know. She's the most considerate lady. You always have fun. That sounds like me with my dentist. No, I don't think you mean Shirley Bassey. Oh, dear. That sounds like my dentist. He loves to talk. I mean, I'm not overly bothered if we talk about teeth, as long as, you know, these are the teeth, they're done, everything's fine. But he loves to talk about computers. So we ended up discussing pages and he wanted to put these reports together. And he had a MacBook Pro and he had an iPad. And I said you could do all of that on an iPad. And then I was explaining, I think he had a copy of Photoshop, but I'm not going to go any further than that, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink. I don't think that he was looking for something to purchase and this clearly wasn't going to be it. So I said, well, why don't you try Affinity Photo? And then these reports, they were basically by page. It wasn't a rolling block of text that you would put necessarily in pages, because he needed to have photos and drawings in certain places. So I said, why don't you just do it in Keynote? And he said, because I need to print it out onto A4 paper. So I made him a template that was Keynote with master pages for each type of page he created. And it was A4. And then I got an email from him about a week later. And he said, I've bought Affinity Photo. Oh, my God, it's so good. So he usually books in extra time when I go, but it's not for me. It's to talk about computing. She's fabulous, isn't it? Oh, dear. Oh, the GP once didn't let me into his computer to fix it. Brilliant. Who provide these classes, Tracy? In Catalonia, this is how it works. New Catalans. That's lovely, isn't it? Are given extra classes to bring their Catalan up to speed. And how much like Spanish is Catalan? What percentage is the difference? Your dentist is stealing consultancy from me. True, but I did get a very big discount. Oh, I'm sure Shirley would love you, Renee. I'm sure she would. Yeah, so what we used to do with these MacBytes Lives, and a MacBytes Live was a text chat, and we used to relay the feed as well at 6 o'clock. So that's been going on for years. So that's where we actually ponder what we want of the day, etc. So I will do an out on Maroon. So we have episode 401 of Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters. But then the chat will turn to today and what we would like. What we would not like, what I would not like, is for anything to put the price up, because they're more expensive already. So that's what we'll do very shortly. And Mike will be back probably about 4:15. He'll be with us for a little bit, but he made, well, it wasn't his fault, was it? Apple didn't give us long enough notice. And Mike's got a webinar at 6 o'clock. So when he's finished, no, you don't have to switch URLs at all. It's all happening here. We've made it really simple. It's all happening here. So when this grand event starts at 6 o'clock, he'll be coming back in. Let me see if it's an hour or an hour and a half. I've got a naughty feeling it's an hour and a half. So let's have a look. Oh, and I broke my email client as well while I was at it. So I need to fix that. And let's have a look. An hour and a half. So he'll be back in at 7:30. I don't think the event will be that long because it's virtual. I think they feel the live dynamic can carry an hour 30 and the recorded dynamic can't. But we'll see how that goes. So he'll definitely bob in and be there. And if we're still yakking at 7:30, he'll be back. So that's the plan. So for the moment, from Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters, I'm going to say good night from me, and I will say good night from Mike. We will both see you next time. And in the meanwhile, stay safe, guys.